Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Damon Bruce.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thanks so much for stopping on by to both Mark Spears and Kalyn Ozebuki. That was fantastic. I just saw the Red Sox hat for the first time. I had no idea he was rocking Red Sox hat.
Was he?
Because that was backwards.
Yeah.
That was a Boston B right there. Or maybe the B stood for Buki. 888-957-9570. We are guest-free for the next hour. And then we got a couple of great guests coming up in our 6 o'clock hour. Our 6 o'clock hour will begin with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. And then at 6:30, we're going to shift our focus to football for the very first time today since we're, you know, two shows away from Championship Sunday. We're going to have Brian Baldinger stopping up by to talk about the NFL. 6:30 tonight, I got a guy on the text line saying, Damon, please do the roundtable once a week. Loved it. I tell you, I loved it too. If we could get those guys to come in here once a week, Gianna, no problem. We will do that once a week.
Yeah, that was fun. That was actually really fun. And the text line enjoyed it. People on Instagram watching live really enjoyed
it. DeGram liked it.
They did. They got to get a behind-the-scenes look and then hear a great basketball conversation. So, yeah. Got to do that more often.
Gambling stories, jambalaya recipes.
And Kalyn fashion.
What more do you want?
I mean, we're good. Check, check, check.
What more do you want? Unless, of course, you want DeMarcus Cousins, then you got to wait, but not long. You do not need to wait very long. It happens tomorrow. We've been waiting. Tomorrow, we finally get what we've been waiting for. What do you think is going to make this year easier for the Warriors? If DeMarcus comes out and looks anything like his career averages, or they just protect the ball the rest of the way and DeMarcus is a bit player even though he's in the starting five. Over the last three games, this team has only turned the ball over that three straight games with just 10 turnovers. It's the first time they've had 10 or fewer in three straight games since 2006. The Warriors, when they start valuing the possession as much as they value the efficiency of the shot, they become unstoppable. They truly do. Last night, in about 25 out of 48 minutes, they hung 147 points on a back-to-back after putting a buck 42 on the Nuggets the night before, when they were great for like 44 of 48 minutes. It's amazing how sometimes the Warriors play some of their worst basketball with a big lead and some of their best basketball when they find themselves in a hole. Urgency is a good thing for this team, and a great thing for this team is Steph Curry just going full-on bonkers.
92 seconds to go in the third. Draymond quickly to the front court. Finds a hot hand. It's Curry. Curry off a series of drag screens. Top of the key. Three. Are you kidding me? Anthony Davis right in front of him. But he's Steph Curry. The laws of man don't apply. Two-point game.
The laws of man. The laws of nature. The rules of basketball, physics, seem to end where Steph Curry's shooting hand begins. And afterwards, a great game out of Draymond Green, who's knocking down corner threes, and he was feeling himself afterwards in his conversation with Kareth.
This is the last game without Boogie Cousins, and I know this is a real simple question, but what is about to change?
All hell about to break loose. So it's going to be fun.
When reached for comment, DeMarcus Cousins said,
"You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me.
Nice. I'm ready for tip-off tomorrow. I don't know about you. 888-957-9570. Meanwhile, Curry is the first player in NBA history to hit eight or more three-pointers in three consecutive games. He is now shooting 46% from three. It's the best percentage of his entire career. So what I guess we're trying to say is we have math to prove that the greatest shooter in NBA history is having his greatest shooting season right now, right in front of our eyes. These are special times. We're never going to get anything like this again. We'll brush up against greatness, Gianna. We will definitely scrape our doors against greatness every now and then. But to see it on a night in, night out basis, where season in, season out, you're basically making sweet, sweet love to greatness as a fan, as a journalist, as an observer, as a diehard, as a season ticket, as a casual fan. Like, it doesn't matter your level of sports fandom. You should be able to look at what the Warriors are doing and just say to yourself, my God, this is absolutely glorious. I've never seen anything like it before.
It's special. Definitely. This is very special.
These are amazing days. These are amazing, amazing times. You know, when you look at the elite players and teams that the Warriors have gone through like a buzzsaw. I was talking with Albie this morning. And we put together the Warriors' kill list.
Nice.
And we came up with a list. We came up with the top five names on the kill list. If I could go straight up, Kill Bill, Volume 1, Volume 2. We got Uma Thurman on the plane, going to Okinawa, looking to get the Hattori Hanzu sword. Hell's about to break loose.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Are you ready for the death list?
Yes.
All right, first name on the death list, the number one kill of their entire... We're going to go backwards. We're not going to work through, like, Oren Ishii and then all the way to Bill. We're going to start with Bill. The number one name on the Warriors kill list... the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron, he brought a championship to the city of Cleveland, and he might have done it against the Warriors, but the Warriors certainly put a halt to any dynasty discussions. They took 3 out of 4. I don't know. Anything in sports is a greater certainty then the Cavaliers have reached their zenith as a franchise, and they'll probably never get there again. Even if they have the best player in basketball on their roster ever again, the chances of him being a hometown kid from Akron, Ohio, are slim to none. That is the mountaintop of an entire franchise. There's nothing but downhill traveling from here. And I don't mean downhill traveling like you got gravity on your side. This is good. No, I mean you're done.
You're going down.
You're done. That's it. By the way, if LeBron could have put together a destination for players to flock to beat the Warriors, if he could have ruled the NBA from House Cavalier, he would have, but he couldn't, and he knew it, which is why he's in LA right now. The Warriors basically ended the coaching careers of David Blatt and Ty Lue. Kyrie Irving, he hit the shot to beat the Warriors, but still got out of town. And by the way, he might be looking to work his way back into LeBron's favor. You hear Kyrie's like apologizing to LeBron James and saying, man, I didn't know how tough it was to be a leader.
Yeah.
Cleveland is now in the tank for Zion conversation. That just shows you a team that was in an NBA Finals last year is now hoping to have the number one pick in the draft. The Warriors have completely destroyed the Cleveland Cavaliers. Coming up next. by the way. I tried to sneak an A.
Dance boy.
But you couldn't really hear it there.
Couldn't.
No, you couldn't. The Los Angeles Clippers, number two on the kill list, clearly. The Clippers were the class of the Pacific during the Mark Jackson era. And the moment Steve Kerr took over, the slow death became a quick death. Like, you know, it wasn't the Clippers that sent Blake Griffin to Detroit. It was the Golden State Warriors that did that. It wasn't the Clippers that decided, hey, Doc, maybe you should just coach the team and not be the GM picking the players anymore. The Golden State Warriors did that. Like, when Donald Sterling was talking about not liking minorities, I think he mostly meant the Warriors locker room because they destroyed his franchise in a way that I've never, ever seen a team take, you know, oh, hey, we're about to be the next big thing. No, you're not.
I mean, come on.
Thank you, Donnie. No, you're not. You're not. The Warriors ended a father and son duo. Austin Rivers is now in Houston. I mean, they just basically... Mutombo finger wagged the Los Angeles Clippers into reinventing themselves. And it was just, it was unbelievable how much that was supposed to be the next great West Coast dynasty. And the Warriors just went full on Kill Bill. The next is not a franchise, but one person. And he was here last night. Is it me? Is it me, or do the Warriors beat Anthony Davis whenever on the court against the guy? Like, since Steve Kerr took over, Davis is now 3-19 against the Warriors, including 1-8 in the postseason. He's been eliminated by them twice. He is unquestionably a top five player in the NBA, but he just can't get over this team. Like, the Warriors have basically been the reason that Anthony Davis looks... He basically looks at his career and his future in New Orleans, and the only thing he sees are escape hatches. He knows he's got to go somewhere else if he ever really wants to realize his potential. And if you're in the Western Conference, the only way to realize your potential is to try to beat the Warriors. The Pelicans ain't going to be that team. So, AD, sorry, buddy. It's been rough going. Tough sledding. Coming in at number four... It's the Houston Rockets.
Hello.
That's right. It's the Houston Rockets.
Hello.
I don't care how well they're playing right now. I don't care how much of a contender they might appear to be again. James Harden has got worked so hard during the regular season. I am out of the gas in the postseason, written all over him once again. You cannot have a usage rate like this and expect to play the next 60 games remaining in your regular season and whatever's in your postseason and keep up this pace. It's unsustainable what he's doing. And even as I'm impressed with the Houston Rockets, most specifically James Harden, look, kids, they're not as good as they were last year. There is no scenario where this year they will be better than they were last year. That's the best shot they ever had. Call it 27 missed threes in a row. Call it Chris Paul's hamstring. Whatever it was, if it weren't going to happen last year, it ain't going to happen. By the way, next on the list, we don't have to leave the state of Texas. Like, does the radio actually turn red like in Kill Bill when I play that? Does it all go to red? I have a question. By the way, it's time now for the 95.7 The Game National Cash Contest. Your chance to win $1,000 right now just by texting the code word JUNGLE. Just by texting the code word JUNGLE to 72881 for your shot to win the signing bonus here on 95.7 The Game. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Coming in at number five. It's the San Antonio Spurs. Like, Father Time definitely caught up with the Spurs, but so did the Warriors. Finally, the Spurs are just 8-16 against Steve Kerr. And they were much better before that. Now, you could say, well, San Antonio, they had a rather important player step away from the game, and that sort of ended their life cycle. But the Warriors were going to end that life cycle no matter what, unless you're telling me that at the very end, Tim Duncan was going to reinvent himself and turn himself into the greatest three-point shooter the game had ever seen. The Warriors are 2019. The Spurs are 2009. Very much so. They don't have the style. They don't have the players to play like this anymore. Honorable mention, I hate to say it too, because we love Dame Lillard. He's Oakland's own. But it feels like every single time he sees the Warriors end up sending him packing too. Lillard, 5-20 against the Warriors, including two postseason exits where he's 1-8 overall in the playoffs. This team, it destroys other careers, other franchises. It's almost like how Michael Jordan rewrote NBA history just by being Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan prevented the Portland Trailblazers from ever taking off, the Seattle Sonics from existing as a franchise, because if they had won those titles, they're not moving to Oklahoma someday. Like, Jordan basically ended the Seattle Sonics, even though their end didn't come until much later. You don't take franchises out of towns where a franchise has won a championship.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're the Oakland Raiders. But that's another story.
That's another conversation.
And that's another day.
Damien from the Chilt Not a Body text line, the 813. How about OKC on the list? Curry and Durant, Harden, Westbrook, and Ibaka.
Yeah, well, that was a little self-inflicted wounds, too, by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, the way that they pilfered Durant was a game changer for sure. But God, I just, to get back to Jordan, Jordan destroyed the Utah Jazz. He destroyed the Houston. Well, no, it really wasn't the Houston Rockets. The Rockets got over on the Knicks. But Jordan had to retire for that to happen. He ended basically the Showtime Lakers. I mean, like, it's amazing the amount of careers that he stood in the way of. And now the Warriors as a team are basically doing the same thing. This is Phil in Millbrae. Phil, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I have to say, when I watched Anthony Davis on the floor last night, writhing in pain at the end, I thought, wow, that was a literal and figurative kick to the crotch that whole game.
It really was, man. And the Pelicans, they knocked down so many shots that they normally don't hit. They probably thought they were going to win that game. And then all of a sudden, it was over.
Absolutely. Day after kicking the Nuggets, no pun intended.
Thank you very much. I appreciate someone using Nuggets to describe the groinal region. Mm-hmm. And he did. He got one from Steph last night. He caught Steph's foot, or let's just say the foot caught the groin, and he was writhing in pain for a while there. That's no good. You can never root for that to happen. I don't care how hard you're rooting for your team. You never want to see that, man. The one thing we do want to see, absolutely everybody wants, boogie time. Boogie's coming. We're going to get it tomorrow. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how he is acclimated to this team. I've heard so much discussion about, look, slow your roll. Don't expect too much. There's going to be growing pains. And I do believe those growing pains will exist with the second unit, with guys who he wasn't on an Olympic team with. Like, I could see Boogie coming out and wearing beige and blending right into what the Warriors do. No problem at all. Remember, he's played with these guys for a couple of years in terms of practice. He has shared Olympic practice courts with half of this team. Again, though, the Warriors are basically going to start the Olympic team. That's what they're doing. They're going to start the Olympic team when they get to Los Angeles tomorrow.
That's quite a lineup.
The whole notion that they didn't play him last night, that he was ready to go last night, but they just wanted to not bring up all the storylines that would be DeMarcus is back against the New Orleans Pelicans. Well, first of all, he was in New Orleans for like 5 minutes. Give me a break. It's not that emotional. It's not like you're debuting him against the Sacramento Kings. Now, there's a game I would get it if he, you know, if he wanted to be like, no, especially with all the Kings media easily coming down 80 to get to Oracle. How many writers from the New Orleans Times-Picayune do you think were in there last night? How many writers from Los Angeles media do you think are going to be in there tomorrow?
Ugh, it's going to be a circus.
Anyone who's avoiding media crush against the Pelicans only to be going on to play in Los Angeles? Dude, you want to talk about a media crush? You're going to get one tomorrow night, whether you want it or not. John is in Concord. John, you're on 95.7 The Game.
You guys rock. You know, this is my thing. The way the Warriors went through their little, you know, media deal there with the little sideshow in front of everybody and their injuries, and to see what they're doing right now. Let's say Boogie Cousins comes back and he's in form of, you know, not what he was, but let's say he's 80%. There's not a team they could put together, an all-star team in the East, I guess, to play him in the finals. But that's going to put a mental shockwave through everybody.
Look, we just had a round table with Mark Spears and Kalen Azubuike, someone who covers the NBA, someone who used to play in the NBA. And I was asking, what kind of DeMarcus do the Warriors really need? And he's like a 25-12 guy. Forget about the 25. The Warriors don't need that. They need the 12. If DeMarcus is a rebounder and rebounder only for the Golden State Warriors, I think they've got an easy path to a three-peat. If he just rebounds, that's it.
That was my, you know, they're to get not only defensive rebounds, but to get offensive rebounds where they can, you know, kick the guys out again. But what's going to make it really good is you've got this other ingredient that you put in the pie, put in the mix. They're going to have to figure out how to defend this tough guy, which leaves all less more, you know, relieves a little bit more pressure on Curry and Thompson and the other guys there. So that's going to be, you know, hopefully everything's going to work out really good there. So, and you know what? I think that if this works out really good, this will be a thing to keep Durant that'll make him. I mean, where else could you go and when they play like that?
I agree. So, I think good vibes are about to ripple out from this team. That's going to, I mean, it's just going to make Kevin Durant rethink whatever his thought process was at the beginning of this year. What his thought process might be at the end of this year is just, I mean, who knows? Who knows? But how do you walk away from a situation like this if you really are interested in winning championships and having a stack of Larry O'Brien trophy define your legacy, not whatever insult trended about you on Twitter? You know what I mean? Like, this is some real big boy stuff. Everything else is Mickey Mouse compared to it. Everything that the Warriors might be concerned with is Mickey Mouse compared to what their goals are. Their goals are to win this championship and the next one and probably the next one after that, and then maybe the next one after that might be a little bit of more in doubt. If they can keep Kevin Durant in town, there's nobody touching this team for a really long time. If Kevin Durant leaves town, maybe that unlocks Steph Curry in the way where they keep going back to what we saw before Durant got here. I don't even want to think about it. I want to think about these two games and the new feel around the Golden State Warriors.
Do you feel joy? Say joy!
Make everyone reevaluate what's really important to them and what could be more important than winning and sometimes winning easily in one of the toughest, most competitive sports in the world. 888-957-9570. Your calls are certainly welcome over the next half hour. And then after that, we got a couple of guests coming up for you in the 6 o'clock hour. And to tell you about them, one and only Gianna Franco.
I got you right here. Wheels up. The Warriors are headed south to Los Angeles. They left earlier this afternoon, taking on the Clippers tomorrow night. DeMarcus Cousins expected to make his official Warriors debut at Staples Center. Of course, we'll carry all the action live right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors coming off of back-to-back wins after last night's win against the Pelicans at Oracle. Streaking Dame in 6 straight now for the Dubs. More Warriors when head coach Steve Kerr joins Damon at 6 o'clock for his weekly interview. And don't forget, catch the NFL's conference championship games this Sunday live right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for the NFL playoffs. It starts at 11 o'clock right before the Rams that take on the Saints, followed by Patriots at Chiefs in the AFC. Kickoff for that game at 3:40. You going to the Gridiron Gala?
Bill Belichick.
I'm going to take that as a yes, happening Sunday at Campbell's Hooters. So check it out. We'll all be there. Brian Baldinger joins Damon. That's coming up at 6:30. We are brought to you by Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit Freeman's Appliance magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom and find more at freemansappliance.com. I'm Gianna Franco on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
You feel joy? Say joy!
Boogie Watch. The mood is tense. I have been on some serious reports, but nothing quite like this.
I was aiming for a training camp, but, you know, I've kind of communicated with the staff and the coaches, and it's kind of up in the air, so it'll be when I'm ready.
It's not as simple as that's the game. It's somewhere in that neighborhood.
He's behind a curtain, so nobody's seen him of late.
I tried to get an interview with him, but they said, nope, you can't do that. He will literally rip your face off.
Hey, you're making me look stupid. Get out here!
Great story. Compelling, rich.
Boogie Watch is certainly on, and we are tick, tick, ticking down to an actual sighting. Wait, we're talking like 26 hours from now?
Yeah, tip off, what, 7:30?
26 hours from right now.
Mm-hmm.
We get a boogie, and we're going to watch the Warriors reinvent themselves right as they're peaking in the current version that they're built in. God, these are just amazing times. We're never going to get a story like this. We're never going to see a team that, let's say, you know, the San Francisco Giants were putting together like a World Series type of year again, and they were clearly the number one favorite team to win it all. I know this is just suspend reality, but it would be like, oh, and out of nowhere, in a lineup that's already clicking, you get Mike Trout. Now, I'm not saying that Boogie Cousins is Mike Trout, but it is a guy that in his career has been referred to as one of the best at his positions. Mm-hmm. Even though he's coming off an injury, DeMarcus Cousins, I guarantee he's coming out here to be one of the best at his position. Whether he'll be able to be that or not, well, we'll all find out together. He sat down and did talk with ESPN, and here's what he had to say.
We're the most hated team in sports. You know, they hate Kevin, they hate me. I think the only guy that really likes is Steph. They may hate him as well. They hate Draymond. But, I mean, it is what it is. So I can't worry about that. I'm back, and I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward. I'm leaving it on the floor every night. And I plan on coming back for that top spot.
I understand why he's talking about we're the most hated team in all sports. But I don't want to... You know, here's the thing. I don't want the Warriors to tap into that dark side energy. I don't. LeBron tried to wear the black cape when he got to Miami. Didn't really fit him. Being the enemy of the world was not the role he was cast to star in. Steph Curry was not meant to star in the most hated player in the NBA contest. Not even close. He's lovable. He's fantastic. I understand why DeMarcus would go to the dark side. It's just his personality. Draymond Green, definitely dark side. Everybody hates us. Motivation type of personality. I want the Warriors to come out and play happy, bouncy basketball.
Do you feel joy? Say joy!
That's what I'm looking for. I believe the Warriors are better cast to be the Pied Piper of the new style of basketball we're all seeing right now. By the way, last night was a historic night for the three-point shot in the NBA. You had the Warriors and Pelicans combining for 43 threes made. That is the most in NBA history. Meanwhile, the Warriors matched a franchise record for three-point field goals made with 24 on a franchise record 49 threes. Curry tied his personal record with 7 threes in a single quarter when he unleashed 5 in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and it all culminated in this.
92 seconds to go in the third. Draymond quickly to the front court. Finds the hot hand. It's Curry. Curry off a series of drag screens. Top of the key. 3. Are you kidding me? Anthony Davis right in front of him. But he's Steph Curry. The laws of man don't apply. 2-point game.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
Curry going bonkers last night. The Warriors have made 82 threes in their last 4 games. Not attempted. They've made 82 threes in their last four games. Meanwhile, while the Golden State Warriors and New Orleans Pelicans were rewriting their own record books kind of up here, the Rockets, they shot an NBA record 70 three-pointers last night. 70. They put up 70. One more time, so you didn't mishear me. 70.
That's nuts.
I mean, I hear about embracing the three, live by the three, die by the three. That's bonkers. That's Mike D'Antoni basically saying, James, do what you want, whatever you want. We're banged up just about everywhere. You go, you do this however the hell you want to do it. The game plan is James Harden, go. That's the game plan. James, do it. Harden dropped 58. The Nets in that game, they trailed by 8 with a minute to go in regulation. They forced overtime. They trailed by 7 with 90 seconds to go in overtime, and they won. So you got NBA records being broken in the same night for threes attempted by two teams in one game, threes made by two teams in another game. And basically, if the 90s NBA were a body that had died years ago, last night it would have rolled over in its coffin. Hey, seriously, this is insane. 888-957-9570 is the number. Jose giving us a call from South City. Jose, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, D. Bruce? Thanks for taking my call. I'm always tuning in.
Thank you.
Just a thought I had on Kevin Durant, what he would weigh as far as staying with the Warriors or leaving. Yesterday, I mean, we all know that the Warriors are pretty unselfish team and they ride the hot hand given, you know, the game. And the game yesterday obviously turned into the Steph Curry show at one point. And towards the end of the game, probably the last 3 minutes or so, the fourth quarter, KD barely even touched the ball. And it was a Steph Curry show. So my thought is, in the long term, how will KD feel sharing the stage with the Steph Curry show? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, he better feel good about it. I mean, he really better feel good about it. And the thing is that if Kevin Durant goes home bitter that he doesn't get the lion's share of the spotlight just because Steph is the prodigal son. And by the way, Mark Spears told us when he was in here for Roundtable, he's like, hey, Warrior fans, you want to make it easier on your franchise? Feel free to give Kevin Durant an MVP chant while he's shooting free throws late in the game. Like, make him feel the love, too. And, hey, fans, you want to do that? I suggest you do. I actually think it's unrealistic for Kevin Durant to ever expect that he would get the love of Steph Curry. Steph Curry was born here. Kevin Durant showed up. And look, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that. But he'll never be embraced the way Steph is, just due to the fact that he's a seven-footer. And Steph Curry looks like the guy who took your kids to summer camp.
Yeah. More relatable.
Awfully. Tons more relatable. It's a fascinating time for a team that used to mean very little. Very little to the story that we were talking about here in the Bay Area. Very little to the national conversation. I mean, almost worthless to the national basketball conversation. And now the Warriors, they're the sun that the galaxy revolves around. And tomorrow night, the attention is going to be all theirs once again. The entire basketball world is going to lean forward to see how DeMarcus Cousins blends in with the Golden State Warriors and whether or not Draymond Green's prediction was correct.
This is the last game without Boogie Cousins, and I know this is a real simple question, but what is about to change?
All hell about to break loose, so it's going to be fun.
A lot of people are saying, curb your expectations. Don't expect an awful lot. I do expect him to look good with the starters. If he throws an errant pass to Kevon Looney, throws an outlet pass to Quinn Cook that isn't on the bullseye. Like, I get that. The rest of these guys, he's played with. He understands who they are. They understand what they do. Our caller asking about Kevin Durant and whether or not he'll be comfortable in the, you know, the shadow of Steph Curry. If he looks at it that way, I think he's looking at it in just the wrong light. If Kevin Durant is embittered when he goes home, he's certainly not when he talks to the media, because when he's talking to the media about Steph Curry, he only leaves glowing Yelp reviews.
When you're shooting shots over two people from deep like that, I mean, when Mark Jackson said he was ruining the game, like, I know a lot of people took that personal, but I kind of got it a little bit, because he the only person I've ever seen that can shoot those shots in rhythm like that and make them, and now everybody else think they can. And you can't, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I shake my head, because it's once in a generation, once in a lifetime type of talent and movement, and his movements out there is just so smooth, and it makes it look so easy, you know? So when you're knocking down those shots, it's just a joy to see.
I mean, it's...
He does make it look easy.
It is. He makes
crazy.
He makes it look so ridiculously easy. Even Kevin Durant, who, by the way, lives in I can get my shot off over anyone's burg. Like, that's where he lives. He gets his mail at I can get this shot off Ville. And he's in awe of the way Steph does it. When he talks about Steph Curry ruining the game, when Mark Jackson talks about Steph Curry ruining the game, Steph Curry's not ruining the game. It is the impersonators. It's those who try to play like that, who are incapable of playing like that. They're the guys ruining the game, not the one guy who can do it. Steph Curry is just cooking right now. First player in NBA history to hit 8 or more three-pointers in 3 consecutive games. The greatest shooter in NBA history is having his greatest shooting season, if you like shooting percentages. He is shooting 45.9. I'm comfortable rounding that up, Gianna. I'm going to say 46% from 3.
Okay.
It's the best percentage of his career. That's it. That's all. He finished with 41 last night on 9 made threes. He was 10 of 10 from the line. Of those 9 made threes, 5 of them happened in about 2.5 minutes.
God.
I mean, Curry flurry? Nonsense. That was a Steph Curry Arctic blast.
And his range, too. Like, lots of them, you know, lots of those threes occur, like, way beyond the arc.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
He's taking logo threes.
5-point lead for New Orleans. Warriors can go 2-for-1 here. 36 seconds to go in the third. Curry comes middle. A deep three. That's about a 28-footer for Curry. It's a 2-point game. Palms to the skies. And, hey, that's what could happen here. 109-107.
Al is in Novato. What's going on, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? You know I got to chime in and give you my little 3 cents. It's 1 cent more than 2 cents.
Do it.
Check this out. Hey, can you visualize Curry or Kevin Durant, even Clay, driving to the hole, and there's Boogie set up there, too? Well, how are you going to defense that? And even if he's not in the hole, if he's on the outside, I mean, I could see what Draymond said, all hell's going to be breaking loose. And another thing, too, I wonder if I'm the only one that ever sees, like, when Curry gets in these zones, he has this little vibrate where his head vibrates and it's like a hummingbird, you know. Check him out when he's really. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's the shimmy. He doesn't even
Not the shimmy. Look at him and look at his eyes when he gets in those zones. There's a really tiny, have you ever seen a hummingbird? It's like a really fine vibration. He's like literally vibrating, dude. He's definitely not from Earth. I'll tell you that.
That's why
he said we didn't land on the moon, and I agree with him.
Al, thank you. I love a good conspiracy theory. I will look for Steph Curry vibrations starting tomorrow night. These are good vibrations.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
Tim is in Alameda. Tim, you're on the Damon Brew Show.
Yeah. Hey, Damon. Hey, Gianna. How you guys doing?
Great.
Happy Friday evening or Friday Eve.
Yeah, it's Thursday, but that's
boogie
okay.
It's Boogie Eve.
It's Friday Eve. I wanted to make an observation about Steph. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed this before, but I know he majored in sociology at Davidson, but I think he minored in geometry or engineering or something. I've seen him look at the floor and it seems like he knows where he is on the floor, and then he jacks up that shot without even looking at the hoop. So it feels like he knows where he is at all times, and he knows where other people are, too, without even looking. It's like an amazing skill that he's got.
It really is. It's like he's got a GPS tracking device, and he just knows, all right, I'm in a spot where if I take the shot from here, I'm in good shape. This is where I shoot from. This is where I'm comfortable shooting from. And it is. It's like he's looking at the floor, not at the rim. Maybe the single most illustrative, I think the best example,
okay.
let me say it that way. The best example of that is when Curry hit that shot in Oklahoma City that beat the Thunder, that iconic shot from a couple of years ago, Mike Breen, bang, bang. That shot, Curry's not looking at the rim. He's looking at the floor. It's like, all right, I want to get my toes to here, and when my toes are here, I'm going to let her fly. Damon, quite simply, he's humming. Hummingbird? I don't know. Humming? Yes. We got a great show for you still coming up. Don't you go anywhere. Steve Kerr coming up at 6 o'clock. We asked Kalena Azubuike and Mark Spears a couple questions for Steve Kerr. Like what they had up their sleeves, if they could have a question for Steve, what would they get to? Now, of course, Mark, who's a journalist with a capital J, he didn't want just one question. He had three.
One would be about what does he think about Cantor? And how should he be viewed right now?
Yeah, Cantor obviously with the Knicks. I don't think Steve's going to answer that question because Steve doesn't tamper. Even though that's more of a geopolitical question, like how do you feel about an arrest warrant being issued in Turkey,
right.
I'm guessing. And when it comes to political questions, Mark thinks you're wasting time if you don't ask Steve this.
The second question, the government shutdown, was his thoughts on that?
I'm sure he's not thrilled by any of that. We'll slip that past him. This is one that I definitely hope Steve does want to answer.
The last question is, what was the most interesting dinner he ever had with Phil Jackson and Pop? Either one of them, what was the most interesting dinner he had with either one of them?
I hope we get the answer to that
one. That's cool.
I hope we get the answer to that one. I wonder if he won't say, well, when my son started working for the San Antonio Spurs and, you know, like Greg basically said that there was a spy, a mole in the house or something like that. Maybe he'll bring that one up. Kalena had a real good question. Kalena doesn't have an NBA question. He's got a back in a plane question.
I just want to know what the card games were like with Michael Jordan or any game off the court, like Monopoly games with Michael Jordan. Did he ever come to blows with Jordan after a card game? Did he ever punch him in the face after a Monopoly game? Like what were those games like?
Anyone ever scrap
stuff?
After a game of Yahtzee in the
right,
back of the plane?
Because right, we all know how competitive Jordan was on and off the court. And Steve Kerr obviously was pretty competitive himself. So what was that like?
NBA card games. Woo!
You hear stories.
If there's dissension in a locker room, it's usually about a gambling debt or a woman. It's pretty much how it goes.
Yep.
Someone's like, Damon, don't forget the Anderson Hunt question. I think we are going to pass on that one only because we're not going to just pepper Steve with questions everyone else asked, because I had a whole bunch of questions for Steve too. So we might have to pass on that one. Not to mention it's a little too in another guy's pocket to really answer. Steve would answer that question having a beer at the end of the bar more than he would on the radio. So
fair enough. He's coming up in 10 minutes.
If you're ever having a beer with Steve Kerr at the end of the bar, you can ask him the Anderson Hunt question. But we got an awful lot coming up with Steve Kerr. After that, Brian Baldinger is going to join us. You know, we haven't talked about the coming NFL weekend, not once with Brian Baldinger. We're going to do that. Baldy from NFL Network coming up around 6:30 tonight. A little Arctic blast of our pal Brian Baldinger. 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors got their turnovers down. The three-point shots are up. The defense gets locked in when it needs to be. And last night they overcame a situation where the defense was not locked in until, about 16 minutes left to play in that game. It was midway third quarter through the fourth that the Warriors really got over on the Pelicans last night. It was like they found the the switch on the wall and they flipped it. Well, at least Curry is the one who did that.
Do you feel like they're sending a bit of a message to the rest of the NBA?
If they're not, what in God's name would a message look like?
Right.
How could they not? And I really thought that these games were, I thought these games were built to be overlooked. Not scheduled losses. There is no scheduled loss for the Golden State Warriors. But scheduled to care less than they might in other scenarios, those games definitely do apply. And I just thought that Friday, Boogie's debut was so thoroughly circled, underlined, bolded out, italicized, that that was going to be the, all right, that's the night, it's on. The nights before that, especially the back-to-back up leading to it, doesn't need to be on. It'll be on later. It's not that we're going to be off. It's not, we're not going to turn it on. Well, we learned an awful lot when they got to Denver. That when they're motivated, when they're focused, when they feel, and they can say they didn't have anything to prove, all they want, they can act cool, go ahead, cool guys, cool guys, cool guys. If that wasn't a statement game, what in God's name would a statement game look like?
And it feels like when you go back to December, you know, we got to a point where like, oh, you know, we need Boogie in the mix. It'll be nice to kind of see how they can kind of, you know, help change it up a little bit. But now here it's almost like, okay, maybe we don't need him necessarily, but it's going to be really nice to have him.
Right. DeMarcus Cousins went from being a luxury item to something that felt a little bit more necessary. And there's no doubt he's going to play a very necessary role.
Sure.
DeMarcus joining the starting five changes this team's bench dynamic so much. That alone is where the real help is going to come from. But, God, this is just, these are the salad days, folks.
Hiya.
These are the salad days. We'll never eat better than this. We'll never, ever, 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 ever have a meal like this served to us by any team in the Bay Area. I don't care what the scenario would be. There might be another team down the road in the future of Bay Area sports that wins 3 championships out of 4. But I doubt that team will be also playing a role in changing the sport forever. What the Warriors have done to the NBA, there is no putting this toothpaste back in the tube. The game has changed. They embraced the 3. The league tried to catch up. Now the league is so thoroughly in love with the 3 that the Warriors are like, all right, you think you love the 3? Wait and you see it coming from us. And it's like there's like an arms race. There's an arms race, and the Golden State Warriors got the biggest treasure trove to fund this arms race than you could imagine. And, oh, if they need more money, they're going to be printing their own as soon as they move into Chase Center. So that probably isn't going to be a problem. It's never a problem talking to Steve Kerr. He is fantastic, and he joins us next on the Damon Bruce Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.